I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Monsignor Peter Fleetwood is back with us once again. He's a longtime friend and contributor to our programmes here at the radio and is now based in England as a parish priest. If you tuned in at this same time last week, you may have heard the first of his reflections on Catholic England. In a few moments, he'll continue with this trend as we try and set the scene for Pope Benedict XVI's forthcoming apostolic visit to the United Kingdom in September. An occasion in which, among other things, the Holy Father will place on the path to sainthood John Henry Newman. I asked Father Peter how, in his opinion, the ordinary person in England might relate to one who's considered by many to be one of the most significant and enigmatic figures of the 19th century. Stay tuned.
Does the ordinary person relate to John Henry Newman in England?
I don't think the ordinary person does, but lots of Catholics do. Lots of people who are aware of literature, and particularly religious literature, would be fascinated by Newman. Even in the realm of philosophy, sometimes you come across Newman, not just simply in theology, but also in philosophy. So there are academics who'd be interested as well, but the bulk of the people who will be interested will be Catholics, I think. Very pleased because Newman and those who came to England from Italy at the time of his reception into the Catholic Church were part of a movement involving also Ignatius Spencer, for example, relation of Winston Churchill and Princess Diana. That time was a time when people spoke often of the conversion of England. Now, I don't think that meant making England Catholic again so much as bringing the gospel back to life, bringing people to Christ in the sense of those great evangelical crusades that there used to be. And that's nothing to do with people in other countries. It's just trying to revive and revitalize the belief in Jesus Christ and life according to his teachings. Newman was very much part of a great moment of revival in England. So I think people will look at his canonization as an affirmation of the need constantly to repropose, represent, re-announce the values of the gospel.
Are there any particular role models for English Catholics among eminent people, eminent Catholics from the past?
The most obvious one, I think, is St. Thomas More, who already is acknowledged as the patron of politicians. The greatest phrase he ever came out with, as far as I'm concerned, is, "I am the king's good servant, but God's first." That's a very good phrase for many, many Catholics who feel very loyal to being British, being English, but they also realise that there's a dimension to life which isn't always covered by the legislation or the political leaders. There's a religious and a highly moral calling of which we're all aware, and to have someone like Thomas More able to encapsulate it, "I am a loyal subject, but I'm also loyal to God, and my first duty is to be honest to my religious convictions," that's a great role model to have. And I think Mary Ward is recognised as a great educator, a liberal educator in the sense of looking to the whole of the life of a young woman, not just getting them into church and not simply either filling their heads with knowledge. A different kind of view of education, and she's had an effect on a huge number of people, and I know they in their turn have brought their values to bear in the jobs they do and in their families and so on. So Moore and Ward, I think many of the English martyrs, for those who know about them, are also figures of strength in the faith. I hope they're not just awkward so-and-sos who refused to give up their faith because they were Lancastrians or something. I think there's more to it than that. There's a great sense that I really do owe it to my Lord Jesus Christ, to have the strength to stay with this, no matter what people attack me with. It's very hard to speak that message these days because we're always told, ah, but that's just recalling the divisions between Christians. I don't think that's true, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about Christians or atheists or believers in other religions. I think anybody can gain from knowing the courage of people who were prepared to give their life for what they believe in.
What about a figure like Edmund Campion? I mean, I realise that for English people he's very well known, but even I've heard some English asking me who Edmund Campion was.
Well, I think along with many of the others, fewer and fewer people know anything about any saints. One of the things I do in my parish newsletter is every week provide short biographies or summaries of the teachings of or the importance of the saints who are being celebrated that week. And there are people who come back to me saying, I never knew any of that, Father. Thank you very much. And I think most people now don't know who Edmund Campion was, to be honest.
Even in England?
Even in England.
Because when I grew up in Catholic England, when I went to boarding school, I mean, Edmund Campion was a huge figure, a huge role model. No?
Well, Edmund Campion was a huge figure in my education as well, partly because of the school I went to in England, but also because of his portrait hanging on the staircase in the college I studied in here in Rome, so I know a lot about him. We're in a tiny minority.
This year is the year for priesthood, no? And the Pope has asked priests to model themselves on the Curé d'Ars. Would people in England know who the Curé d'Ars is? St. John Marie of Vianney.
I think a lot of people know who the Curé d'Ars was. They call him different names, some by his family name, Jean-Marie Baptiste Vianney, some as the Curé d'Ars. A lot of priests have taken it upon themselves to say a lot more about him this year. Anyone who reads the diaries in our diocesan publications will know that at least five times a week this year there are opportunities to join other people in praying for priests. But I have heard it said as a criticism of me partly that in my own parish we haven't said much openly. I tend just to produce the diaries. But the amount of information we're expected to transmit to people in parishes means certain things get lost. And unfortunately, in my case, I haven't said enough about the year of priests, but I have provided the information.
But are your parishioners interested in the year for priests? I mean, don't they think, well, maybe it should be the year for parishioners rather than priests?
I don't know. It would, if I had said more, they might be more interested, but I don't think it should depend on me. It's like saying, let's have a birthday party for me, and me organising the party for myself. I think there are enough people in the parish who could have said, Father, can we do something for the year of priests? But nobody has. We have put hundreds and hundreds of prayer cards at the back of church. I think about 30 have gone. This is absurd, really. But people generally in my parish are very rich. They don't seem to need written material. I'm cancelling most of the written material we get in because we have to throw it away or send it back. Some people buy Catholic newspapers, but very, very few. And I don't know how to get beyond that. And part of that is we have all these beautifully produced prayer cards at the back of the church and people haven't taken them. I have drawn attention to them a few times, but I don't know what it is at the moment. People are still quite reluctant to do anything other than come to Mass and go home after Mass. There's a long way to go in my parish on that score. It's not quite the same as in some other parishes where there are different activities during the week. It's not that kind of area. So there's a more of a challenge in getting people to engage on that level.
And heartfelt thanks there go to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, currently working as parish priest within the Liverpool Archdiocese in England. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.